So say, we've already obtained this precious human birth. And if you think that, oh, so even if I cannot use this properly this time, but I can expect the same thing obtaining the next time. But in actuality, such kind of thinking is very distorted and perverted, because we see that everything, as long as something is a composite phenomena, it should be something derived through the appropriate causes. In order to have such an endowed precious human birth, so it should have been preceded by the respective proper virtuous conditions and causes. So in order to obtain such a precious human birth, it should be, first of all, have the requirement of proper ethical discipline as the cause, as one of the primary causes. And secondly, it should be complemented by that very cause of ethical discipline should be endowed or complemented by other practices as generosity and so forth. And again, that as well should be complemented by pure wishful prayers, virtuous wishful prayers. So these being the required conditions or the causes to obtain such a precious human birth, so we really need to reflect now as to whether or not we are having in possession of these causes that can possibly bring us such a precious human birth next time. So, with the first point, that is observing proper, pure ethical discipline. So, with this condition, so let's just let alone those people who are not at all introduced to the Buddhist teachings. So, even those people who are already introduced to Buddha Dharma, so despite knowing all these different ethical disciplines, so forth, and yet because of their habituation to the negative emotions, they are constantly being driven by the negative emotions of attachment, aversion, so forth, thereby not being able to observe the ethical disciplines properly. So, if you take into consideration as to how we engage in a kind of virtuous action, so it should be the case that the virtuous action should be powerful if it has the proper motivation, very powerful and proper motivation, correct motivation, and then in the actual event of doing the action, should be very powerfully done, well done, and then in the end should be complemented or associated with the powerful dedication of the merit and so forth. If these conditions are there gathered, then the whatever merit or the virtue that you accumulate, that should be very powerful. Likewise, if we take the negative actions into consideration, so the motivation for engaging in that negative action, if you do that with a very powerfully sense of aversion and so forth, anger and so forth, again, the motivation is very powerful. Then in the actual event of the action, if you do that with the with all kind of means to hurt the other person, to engage in the action very powerfully, the actual event of the action is intact. Then in the end, after engaging that action, for example, killing whatever, you feel so delighted, as if like you have accomplished greatly. So there again, we say that very action is it's very powerful. So as such, whenever you engage in any kind of virtuous actions, so it is very important that they be associated with the virtuous motivations like bodhicitta and so forth. But in actuality, when you really reflect as to what kind of virtuous actions that we engage in, we see that they are sparsely being, or they are being very scantily being motivated by such powerful attitudes like bodhicitta and so forth. As such, the in terms of motivation, they are virtuous actions. they are not complete. And then also, when you think about how our virtuous actions, they arise in us, virtuous thoughts, they arise in us, they arise in a very natural way or spontaneous way, turns out to be very unlikely. It has to be done with a great effort. So if you reflect that way, so it becomes almost unlikely that we can have those conducive factors for obtaining a next precious human birth. Turns out to be very difficult because we are not having those causes and conditions intact in us. So that way, we have to really be reflexive as to whether or not we are having possession of those causes and conditions for obtaining a proper precious human birth next time. As such, we are not supposed to think that, even if I don't use this human birth this time for practice and so forth, I can try the next time. I can achieve a precious human birth next time again, and then try it there. But in actuality, the causes are very rare in us, rarely present in us. As such, the likelihood for obtaining such a precious birth next time would be almost unlikely. As such, we should make a commitment that I'm going to make the best use of this precious human birth that is already obtained. Read the text. Consequently, why would I act in such a way that an excellent base like this one I've gained does not have a result? If I do not make it meaningful, could there be a greatest of betrayal and a biggest stupidity? Having passed through the many perilous places of unfreedom, such as the bad migrations, again and again, if I were to go back to those places, forsaking this one oath, liberation as meaningless, it would be like turning mindless as though stupefied by a magic spell. By way of thoughts like these, you should meditate again and again. In engaging in bodhisattva behavior, it says, having found this kind of leisure, not to cultivate what is virtuous, no betrayal could be a greater, nothing more deluded than that. And having found this place so rare, hard to find and beneficial, if I, well aware of it, were to be taken to that hell again, as if deluded by magic spells, has my mind here wasted away? Through what delusion, I do not know, either what has become of my mind, my feelings. And the text say, the next topic, the method of meditation with four special features. Thus, four thoughts regarding the Dharma are necessary for the generation of a fully qualified wish to take the essence of this base of leisure. The first feature, that is, the need to accomplish the Dharma, because all sentient beings only want happiness and do not want suffering, and attaining happiness and eliminating suffering only depends on the holy Dharma. So on top of the Dharma being beneficial in ways of helping us to obtain a precious human birth next time and obtaining obtaining the highest good of the Buddhahood next time, on top of these things, we can also have the benefits of this life as well. The immediate experiences of pleasure can be derived through Dharma. So, to really accomplish those the pleasurable experiences or happinesses and abandon the negativities, they are based, entirely depends on the whether or not your mind is transformed. As such, that transformation of mind can be done through practicing the Bodhidharma properly. As such, we see that all these happinesses, they are kind of dependent on the practice of Bodhidharma. So, if you take into consideration the entire population of this earth, so there are about 6 billion of them, And then if we categorize these billion people into the three categories, first one, those who are desirous of, those who are actually devotee or religious person, and those who are not religious person, and those who take the religion as neutral. So if we consider, if take into consideration those people who are not at all in favor of in favor of any kind of religion, so still we see that these people as well, they are not at all contented, they are not at all happy about it. So it is because of this that we see that those people who are not actually taking keen interest on the different negative states of emotions like attachment and hatred and so forth, so those people, they feel more comfort, they feel more happy in terms of the mental state. And whereas those people who are totally infatuated with these different negative emotions, they remain absolutely mentally disturbed. So the second point is the ability to accomplish the Dharma, because you have the external condition, a spiritual teacher, and the internal condition, the leisures and the endowments. And the third one, the need also to accomplish the Dharma in this life, because if you do not accomplish it within this life, it will be difficult to find the leisures and endowments in many future rebirths. And the fourth one, the need to accomplish the Dharma right now, because the time of death is uncertain. So let me repeat the four different points or the features. First one, the need to accomplish the Dharma. Second one, the ability to accomplish the Dharma. Third, the need also to accomplish the Dharma in this life. And fourth, the need to accomplish the Dharma right now. And you should know the specific specific reasons employed to support these each of these four features. The first one, the need to accomplish the Dharma, because all sentient beings only want happiness and do not want suffering. And attaining happiness and eliminating suffering only depends on the holy Dharma. Second, the ability to accomplish the Dharma. So because you have the external condition and the spiritual teacher, and the internal condition, the leisures and endowments. Third, the need also to accomplish the Dharma in this life, because if you do not accomplish it within this life, it will be difficult to find the leisures and endowments in many future rebirths. And fourth, the need to accomplish the Dharma right now, because the time of death is uncertain. So next topic, how to take the essence, the three beings mode of applying path, A, generating certainty with regard to the general presentation of the path, second, the actual way of taking its essence. So here, His Holiness's commentary. So the varieties of teachings, the enormous amount of teachings the Buddha Shakyamuni has given, they are primarily focused or aimed to bring about the happiness of the sentient beings.